Today is March 7th, 2018. What is your name?
Sarah Hamill.
And where do you live?
Ashland, Kansas.
And what is your occupation?
Food service director for Ashland High School.
Okay, and how old are you?
39. Okay.
So when did you first become aware of the Starbucks fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
We were eating lunch. It was about 12:30 after we served the kids. We were eating lunch, and we saw a lot of smoke outside and went outside to, you know, be looky-loos and noticed that there's ash falling already in town. We didn't know how bad it was yet, but we knew something big was coming. So we hadn't heard anything yet about anything. We just went out there and took some pictures.
So could you see the sun through the clouds or through the smoke?
The smoke was slowly going over the sun when we went out there. So the sun was still partially out.
So it's just still coming, starting to come to town.
Yeah.
So did you evacuate?
Not at that point, no. We evacuated, my family and I evacuated about, I think it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We didn't even know there was an evacuation until we went outside and the sheriffs came by.
Uh-huh.
And telling everybody to get out of town.
So usually after you feed the children and you have lunch, then you have to clean up and get ready for the next day. So you're there at the school for a little bit?
Yeah, we eat and it usually takes us around 30, 45 minutes to clean up afterwards. So.
And so by then, things were getting a little bit more hazy?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you have a son that was at going to school?
Mm-hmm, in elementary school.
And, yeah. Did you have to go pick him up, or?
Yes, I had to pick him up from school, and like I said, we still didn't know there was an evacuation. We just knew that they were sending the kids home early in case of one. So.
Was there announcement at school, at the high school, of what they were doing?
We did not hear one.
Okay. So you can't hear that in the cafeteria?
We don't have a speaker in our kitchen. In the cafeteria but once we close the doors and shut the window, we can't hear anything in there. So,
okay. So and how did you find out that you needed to go pick your son up?
I called his teacher to see if he was going to have tutoring, and she said, no, you need to come pick him up right now. You know, and she was leaving by the time I got there. She was running to her vehicle. So I think she lives in Mead or something.
What grade is
she in? The old third grade teacher, Mrs. Amarine.
She lives in Coldwater.
Coldwater? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was ready to get out of town. So
imagine. So did you hear the evacuation notice, or did someone come around and tell you? You don't have an iris on your phone?
At that point, I had not signed up for it. I was on Facebook and saw a post from Shayla Underwood saying that we need to get out of town now. And we were just kind of like, what's going on? Because it was still, you know, we could still see the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It was still light out. So we went outside and we were like, should we really go or shouldn't we, you know? So we ended up not going until the sheriff came by to say you guys need to leave. So,
and about what time would you say that was?
It was probably about 4:30, I would say.
And which direction did you go?
We went east. We went towards Coldwater.
Mm-hmm. So did you take a bunch of things with you? Did you prepare to stay, or how long did you think you were going to be gone?
We all packed an overnight bag. We figured it just one night is all we packed clothes for. We have two dogs, and we grabbed the dogs. I can't think of what else we packed. I know I forgot to grab pictures. I remember being really upset that I forgot to grab pictures, and, you know, because in the emergent state, you don't really think, you know, of everything you need to grab. So,
did you drive through any smoke?
We did. It was getting darker, and it was getting smokier as we were leaving town. So it was almost like it was nighttime by the time we left town.
Could you see fire?
Not then. not then. We went to Coldwater and ate dinner and decided to try to come back. And that's when we drove through the bad stuff, trying to get back to town on the back roads by Sitka.
So you go south of Sitka?
Yes. It wasn't the best way to go. So
was there fire on both sides? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was getting really dark, like there was a black wall right in front of us that our lights wouldn't even shine through to the other side. And I told Kurt, you know, this makes me nervous. We don't know what's on the other side of that. And he went ahead and drove through. And at that point, there was fire on both sides of the road, too. And
high fires are down on the ground.
It was pretty high. It was pretty high fire. And it was by, some of the, what are they called? Like the gas.
Like gas tanks?
Gas tanks and stuff over there. And we were driving right by it, and embers were blowing across the road. And he started going through the black, and we could barely see the fire. It was close enough to see that was all the way across the road. And so he backed up for about a mile, and we got turned around and we saw a couple fire tornadoes in that time and decided to go back to Coldwater at that point.
Do you remember what time it was?
I know that the road was closed. The highway was closed at the protection because that's where we turned to try to come home. The protection junction. Yeah. And I think at that point the fire was across the road. We saw the fire across the road when we got back up to the highway. And that was probably maybe a quarter mile away from us to the west.
Right.
So.
So when you went back to Coldwater, where did you go?
We ended up staying at, going to Medicine Lodge.
Oh.
We knew some people there, and they had a hotel room for us. So we weren't sure how our animals would be able to stay anywhere at the high school. We knew since we'd taken that little journey that all the cots were probably taken up and we'd be sleeping in the car. So we were lucky to be able to get a hotel room.
And it accommodated your pets.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yep.
So when did you decide to return?
Not until we got the message. I'm trying to think. I think it was on Facebook. Or no, we were watching the emergency page because there was a page that they were putting updates on and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it finally said that we were able to return. So we jumped in the car and we came back because Kurt has family here and we didn't know how their ranches were. We didn't have time to talk to any of them. They didn't have time to talk to us, let's say. But we were worried about them and getting back to them and helping them, you know, whatever they needed from us.
Yeah. So when did you find out that school had been canceled?
School didn't get canceled until I got back into town and I called Mr. Wettig when we pulled into our driveway and I said, what do I need to do? You know, we can open up the kitchen. I know there's a lot of firemen that are out here helping us, I'm sure. You know, what can we do as a kitchen? You know, how can we help? Because I knew we didn't have school that day.
Right.
And he said he'd call me back. And then I got the call. He told me to come up there. And I hadn't had time to shower or anything. It was very embarrassing. But I had a meeting with him and Mr. Endicott. And we decided to go ahead and put some sandwiches together for our firemen that were here. So I volunteered all the kitchen staff without really asking them. I just sent a text. By the way,
were most of them in town?
Yes.
How many is your staff?
Two. I at that point I had three.
Right.
But now it's two. But my baker showed up the first day, and Juanita showed up that day. Anne was unable to show up. She had, you know, her own stuff going on.
cattle issues.
Yes. Yeah. So, Juanita's daughter, Rebecca, came too. So the first day it was just the four of us.
Did you have any, townspeople coming in and helping or?
Not at that point. No.
Okay.
Not at that point. And then soon after, the Red Cross was contacted and the decision was made for us to open up the school for all the firemen coming in.
Right. So on Tuesday you made lunches, or you made sandwiches for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make something different for the evening meal?
We did. I'm trying to think. I think we made corn dogs. I mean, whatever we had in the freezer, because the next week was spring break. So I knew that using all the stuff that we could was going to be fine, you know, without getting an order in. I know we had corn dogs and we had some potato chips left over. I can't remember everything. I should have brought my notepad with me. I had it all written down because I had to figure out how much money we spent.
Yes.
On that too, at, you know, after it all.
So on that first day, it was just your kitchen staff, not a whole bunch of other people coming in?
Right. But
were there other, like teachers or staff of the school that came up and helped, or students?
The maintenance came up. The maintenance crew came up. And I know the Miracles came up, the whole family. And they stayed the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, they were the main point of contact for all the firemen when they came in. Mr. Wettig was there full time. He slept up there every night.
Right.
I'm trying to think who else. As far as the whole time of us being open, that was it. Just like Anne, you know, there were the teachers that would have, couldn't.
Yeah.
Because they were suffering with whatever. You know, they had their own issues with cattle and fencing. And
so did Kurt go out and help the criers with their stuff? Or
yes. Yes, he did.
He'd spend a couple of days out there. Were they on fire on Tuesday? Or
I know that Tuesday was the day that we came back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I don't think, because he worked, we lived in Englewood for a while, and he worked on Jeff's Englewood Ranch. And I don't think it was still on fire on Tuesday. I don't think it was. It's a blur. I have no idea.
So what kind of hours did you spend up at the school? Were you there for all three meals?
Yes. It would be, we'd go in at 5:30 in the morning and leave at 10 o'clock at night, even after other people came in, because one of us, you know, we wanted to, it was our kitchen, you know, we wanted to be there at all times to make sure everything was smooth.
Was there somebody there throughout the evening? I mean,
overnight?
At night?
No.
Overnight?
No.
The kitchen closed?
We would close up the kitchen, but we left several pots of carafes of coffee,
mm-hmm,
out there for the nighttime firemen, and crock pots full of food and warmers. I mean, they had a meal to eat when they came in, whether we were there to serve it to them or not. So we always made sure it was 24/7. The kitchen was
available.
Yeah.
So what kind of things did you make for breakfast?
Oh, we did biscuits and gravy. We had pancakes on a stick in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We used whatever we had. I think the grocery store donated stuff to us, biscuits and gravy packets. And I know they donated other things. I just can't think right now, but they were really good to us.
So I heard someone made a Mexican meal one evening.
Yes, yes. We were not a part of making that, but we were there to help serve it.
And do you remember what they made? Was it an enchilada or a...
No, I remember them heating up the tortillas. I think it might have been like a... I think it was tacos. And you know, we wouldn't just feed the firemen. It was the public coming in to eat. And then we'd also do to-go orders to all the ranchers that mm-hmm. were out working and had people working for them. So we were serving 600 plus meals a day total, I would say. And that doesn't include the ones we delivered out.
Right. And you also delivered some food to the firehouse?
Yes. Yeah. We did that, I think, twice. Because after the second time, they're like, we don't need anything else. Please don't bring us any more food.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we delivered food to them twice, and it was the corn dogs. That was the first couple days that it was just us. So,
and then up at the school, did you have people that came in and helped you clean or serve meals through the days?
I think by day three, I think by Thursday, we had people volunteering to come in, and they ended up, there were so many people volunteering that they had to go through the office and sign up for certain times to come in because we didn't want, I mean, even some of the high school boys came up, the high school basketball team came up there and helped out, and just, there's three ladies that stand out in my mind that were there, and they would, like, make me go away for a little while, you know, like, go sit down, Sarah, go eat something, you know.
Right.
And it was just amazing the help that they brought. And then people started making desserts and stuff and bringing them up or asking, what can we make to bring up here, or what can we help you with? So it was, as sad as the time was, it was a pretty amazing experience to be a part of.
Did you meet lots of people that you didn't know lived in town?
Oh, yeah. I met a lot of people I've seen them before, but I never talked to them. And I still, after spending, you know, a couple of days, I don't remember all their names.
Yeah.
But they have my phone number and I have theirs,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
You need to get in touch again.
Yeah.
Yep. So how many days did you serve meals at the school for people? Do you have an idea? Seven?
Well, on the seventh day, it was just breakfast because the firemen were leaving that day, that Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
So, and then did you have a lot of, take a while to clean up the kitchen and clean up everything to make it ready for the week after spring break?
That wasn't the biggest cleanup because the firemen weren't in there, you know, cleaning up the soot from the benches in the cafeteria and mopping the floors and have to change out your mop water after every swipe. I mean, I think that was the biggest part. Our kitchen was not the biggest cleanup.
So how long did it take you to clean up the cafeteria?
Man.
And what did you find worked the best?
We did it after every meal.
Right.
That way you want to keep it clean.
Yeah.
We cleaned after every meal, but it was just scrubbing the benches and the tops of the tables where they set their elbows or whatever. That was the biggest spot to clean, and the soot off their boots. The maintenance crew came in and mopped, and we just cleaned the tables off and, you know, just scrubbing them.
Did the firefighters help clean
in
their downtime?
Oh, yes. There was one crew in particular that they're from near Denver, Colorado. I can't remember what town. But they would help mop the hallways, and you know, they would tell the maintenance guys, let me do this, let me help you. You know, they were very helpful, and they even on the last day they served us breakfast after we served them, which was really cool. But yeah, they'd play basketball with the kids that were up there the whole time. Rebecca's daughter was there the whole time that she was there too. Every time she came up, she came up to help. And, they'd play basketball with them, play cards with the kids. And they all told us, you know, this is the most hospitable town we've ever been to. And a lot of them, this is, you know, they travel around helping other fire departments. That's what they do. And there wasn't one of them that didn't say that to us. So that made us feel proud of how, you know, how we handled it.
Yeah. So when it was time to go back to school,
Yeah.
Was that kind of a surreal feeling, or was it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, thankfully we still had our spring break. You know,
right.
We still got that week off afterwards.
And did that help kind of ease back into the next week then?
I think it did. I really do. After we weren't affected personally, Kurt and I weren't, but, you know, his family and just the community, that hearing all the stories the week coming back into school, the devastation, you know, there was stuff we didn't know. So I think that kind of made it linger a little bit longer, but, yeah, I think we were more prepared to go back to school since we had the week off instead of doing it immediately.
Yeah. So, what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Of the actual fire itself?
Mm-hmm.
I think when we tried to come back.
And that wall of black?
Oh, it was so scary. I was so scared. And I think I threatened Kurt within an inch of his life if he didn't turn around.
Get out.
Because, you know, tires are made of rubber.
Yeah.
Not metal. Not steel.
Yep. Have you grown up in an area where there have been grass fires and wildfires before? Or is this kind of your first experience with a grass fire?
That's my first experience. You know, I guess I didn't realize how fast they can move and how... I mean, you know, fire is dangerous, but you don't think how quickly it can just consume something. You don't ever think about it.
Because you're not used to it.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've been around tornadoes and seen the devastation from that, but the devastation from this fire really... It's something that you can't explain to people.
So when kids come through the lunch line,
mm-hmm.
would they talk about it? Or
some of them would. The ones most affected, I think, are the ones that were most wanting to talk about it.
Did you have some of the kids that lost their houses helping up at the kitchen at the cafeteria with the firefighters after the fire, you know, like?
I don't know. No, we didn't have any of the kids that lost their houses come up there.
Okay.
Because I know, like, the First Christian Church group mm-hmm. had a few dinners, and then they took over at the church camp. So I'm sure that Janae's girls helped.
Yeah, they were there.
That, you know, that entity.
So did you go volunteer down at the camp?
I didn't.
Did you meet any of those volunteers, or were you mostly in with the firefighters, or did you meet some of the volunteers that came with, like, hay? And
We met all the people that brought all the food and stuff, because they brought them up to the high school. Nobody, you know, we didn't know where to tell them to go, so... We did meet all the people that came with that stuff.
So what kind of things were donated?
Oh, man, everything. There was water, Gatorade, pop, toilet paper, paper towels, deodorant, toiletries, you know, food, any kind of food you could want. And we tried to, at one point, we put it all on the stage in the cafeteria. We ran out of room real quick there. So we moved the water and the Gatorade to the back of the cafeteria against the wall. And it was probably about 6 feet tall, two cases, you know, two rows in. So mm-hmm. we had a lot. And they actually had to move some of the water out to the shop because we were getting pallets of it at that point. So we moved all the food and stuff out into the hallway and tried to kind of sort it by what it was. That way people could come in and kind of shop, I guess
right.
you could say.
And did you use any of that food to make meals?
We did use a little bit of it. I know, like, the canned corn, and we used that. We used some macaroni and cheese boxes at one point, some pancake mix. But we wouldn't take all that there was. you know, if there was an overabundance, that's when we would spaghetti sauce, spaghetti noodles. I know we made spaghetti one night because it was, the firemen were requesting it.
Right.
So, yeah, we did take a little bit of it to help out.
So do you make a lot of high-carb meals for them?
We tried to. We just worked with whatever we had.
Right.
You know, like, I had to figure out what to make the kids the first couple days back into school because we had run out of so much stuff.
Right.
We didn't have anything left to feed them. So I can't remember what we had for them when they came back in. But, you know, my vendor didn't deliver until Wednesday. So, but the kids understood. They were nice enough to be understanding.
So who are some of the people or agencies that helped most through the fire with what you were doing? Or that you heard about?
Fireman-wise?
Anything.
I know that there's probably 12 different firefighter units there. I know at one point there was over 120 of them staying in one night, some of them sleeping outside. The ones I remember most are the firemen. There was what were they called? They sent us hoodies recently.
Oh, well.
I should have brought it with me. I didn't even think about it. Anyway, Tyson came up. They donated some beef and chicken, and they actually donated their services one night. I think Friday night they cooked. Mm-hmm. Then they left their grill and a big trailer of meat because they donated it for the whole town and everybody that lost stuff. So
right.
We did use some of that once they left it there. We used some of that to...
And they used that down at the camp too, right?
Yeah.
To cook since...
Yeah. And I did ask if I was needed down there.
Yes.
You asked me if I volunteered early. I just wanted you to know I tried.
I think they were overwhelmed with help too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, working 5:30 to 10, I say working, volunteering, 5:30 to 10, you know, for 7 days straight. Once that was over, like even Monday, it was like we had a big group picture with the firemen. And they all started leaving, and then we all just kind of were like, okay, oh my gosh, what do we do now? You know, we were just ready to fall out at that point.
Yep.
So I think once I got home and didn't have to be anywhere, I didn't feel like I was needed. I think I just kind of fell out for a couple days and
vegetated.
Yeah.
And-
Yeah.
And caught back up on stuff.
Yeah.
So for you, what effect did the fire have? Was it more of a physical, emotional, or financial? Evidently, you were pretty drained.
Yeah, for sure it was physically draining. But it was pretty emotional, too. You know, being there when people came in that needed the donations and just they were the devastation on their faces and
lots of hugs.
Hearing their stories and people I didn't even know, I was hugging and, you know, crying with them.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit of both. And honestly, the deprivation of sleep that I had, because I'd go home and think about it.
Right.
And so did I really sleep from 10 p.m. to 5:30 a.m.? No, I did not. So
what'd you do with your son during this time?
He went to Garden City with his grandma and grandpa. They came and picked him up on Tuesday. So
he was out through the fire, and then was he gone through spring break too, or did he come back that week?
He was gone through spring break in case I was needed anywhere else or anything else happened. He was up at the school when the firemen first started showing up, and then his grandma got there to pick him up.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Yeah.
Always good to have backup.
Yes.
Can you perceive of anything positive that came from the fire?
I think that we're better prepared for it happening again. I think that seeing the community come together is a pretty big deal for a lot of people. So I think that's about it.
Did you learn some more efficient ways to serve food up at the school?
No.
You kind of have a small kitchen, right?
Yeah.
You can only do things.
And I can only have so many people. So it's, you know, it's not always the more the merrier, though, either. Yeah. You get too many people in the kitchen. But it was definitely helpful that we had worked together for, you know, not a full year, but we're like a well-oiled machine up there.
Right.
We don't have to talk to get stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, we know
you don't
what
have
needs to be
direct
done
people.
Behind each other. Yeah.
That's good.
I've never had to. So, yeah, there wouldn't be a quicker way.
Really. So what have you done or are you planning on doing to prepare for another fire or emergency personally?
Well, my pictures are ready to go in my car. I can tell you that. Yeah. I was beyond devastation. And you know, we were sitting at the Dollar General in cold water when I thought about the fact that I had forgotten my pictures. And we were seeing things on Facebook and getting text messages about how the school was on fire and, you know, half the town was gone. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, because that's what people were saying.
Right.
And I just thinking all those memories are, you know, they're gone.
Gone. Yeah. So, what about the community? What can they do to prepare or make plans for another emergency, or have we?
I'm not sure. I think that from what I understand, the schools were not let out at the same time. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true or not. I'm sure it is, though. But the schools were not out at the same time, and there is a text messaging thing that they do to contact parents when school's letting out early and stuff. I think if that would have been used, it would have been a smoother process of getting kids home to their parents. I think that could have been helped, and I think the emergency management is a lot better prepared than what they were. I don't know. I had conversations with Millie and Mr. Wettig together at a certain point. I think it was on Friday when Tyson was there. We were all sitting down talking. And I think they could have been better prepared for it. I mean, we've not had a fire of this magnitude ever in this area. So, I don't know. Can you really prepare yourself more? You know, once it happens again, that's the only way you'll know if you're more prepared.
Would you have evacuated if the policeman hadn't come by and told you to leave?
Probably not. We probably would have stayed. And honestly, in hindsight, Kurt and I were talking, he probably would have sent us away and wouldn't have gone. You know, not just because of all our stuff, but his grandpa and Jeff live on the west side of town and probably could have used him. And he fights with himself about that.
Yes.
When he thinks about it.
So did they lose pasture and fencing in the fire out at the ranch?
Jeff and Katrina did, yes. In the Englewood, their Englewood ranch and their Buckland ranch.
Right. So did you guys go out and help them do fence, you know, roll up fence and
no
fix fence or anything?
No, we offered. We offered to.
Did they have a lot of
they had
volunteers?
Yes, they had a ton of people helping. We did, though, because at one point we delivered supplies down to Englewood.
Right.
We took some water and stuff for the firemen down there. And then Lori Kay was kind of the head of the donated stuff that they needed down there. So she kind of just contacted us, and we loaded up our Suburban from the high school. And Mr. Endicott and Deb Pierce and us, we all went down there, and we just kind of drove around to see what had happened.
Did you go with Deb when she went and delivered water out around the county?
No.
That DeSwetic and Endicott that went with her then?
Yeah.
So did they have donated food supplies down at Inglewood?
Mm-hmm.
And did you bring them some extra, or did just added on to that?
Yeah, we took several boxes of food and like some toilet paper and paper towels and bottles of water and stuff like that. Yeah, that was all that we took down there. I know Deb and Mr. Endicott had their school vans full of stuff too.
So doing that and going out and seeing what the fire had done and coming back from Medicine Lodge, what were some of your emotional feelings, or what did you think?
I videoed all the way back from Medicine Lodge. As soon as we saw the fire, I took video the whole way home. But it was just amazing how that much devastation had happened and nobody was caught in it to the point where they died, you know, aside from the semi-truck driver. But I think he was just smoke inhalation. Just.
That we understand.
It blew my mind that nobody was hurt.
And was there a contrast between east of Ashland and down at Inglewood, or was it just all black? And
yes. Down by Inglewood, on the way down, because we took the...
Angle Road?
We took Angle Road there, and it was black.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took the highway. Was it 160?
Well, you come out on highway? 283.
283.
And then you get 160.
We took 283 back, and along 283, it was like sand dunes.
Okay.
Like all the trees were just gone. There was nothing standing.
Uh-huh.
So it was complete difference, you know. It was sandy over here.
Now, have you been out there now?
We have not been out there since we went down there. But we did, we used to live down there when we first moved here. And we drove by that house, and the fire almost reached the back porch of our old house that we lived in.
And they
in.
Stopped it?
Yeah.
Or it stopped, whichever actually happened. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing to see. And we went down by the ranch, and there was, you know, everything was gone down there. So, yeah. I don't know if you've talked to Katrina or...
Not yet. They're on my list.
Yeah. It's... They lost a lot at both the ranches. So
do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share?
Well, like I said, as devastating as it was one of the most awesome experiences I've ever been through. You know, the volunteering and seeing all the volunteers that came in, you know, all the firemen, all the townspeople, everything. So,
it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is.
So, well, thank you for sharing your experience with us. We appreciate it.
No problem.